Japanese voters give Abenomics a huge victory, and London's mayor introduces a new toxicity charge.
The choice is simple. We can either take action to clean up the air so fewer children have underdeveloped lungs, or we do nothing, which means things get worse.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Over the weekend, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe won a two-thirds supermajority in elections and is now set to become the longest-serving premier of the world's third-largest economy. Laurent Clavel, head of macroeconomic research at AXA Investment Managers, told me why markets are happy with the result.
This morning, what we see is that Prime Minister Abe and his Komei coalition partner are getting a stable majority. That means stability.
We've seen Japan's stock market hit record highs, but this masks some real problems, doesn't it? I mean, Japan's been struggling with low growth for decades.
You are right. Japan has structural problems that were meant to be addressed by the so-called Abenomics, structural reforms, especially on the labor markets. And I would say with this result, Abenomics are more or less off the table.
What do these delays mean then for Japan's economy long term, if the Prime Minister is going to focus more on constitutional reform rather than labour reform?
So if the Prime Minister Abe is going to focus on the constitutional amendment to the Article 9, to recognize the self-defense capacity of Japan, then Abenomics and the structural reforms that were meant to boost potential growth in Japan might be postponed, which means Japan will go back to the equilibrium that prevailed prior to Abe and Governor Kuroda, the head of the Bank of Japan. So before 2013, Japan was more or less in an equilibrium of low inflation, possibly even mild deflation, and modest growth. There is a social acceptance to that model, and therefore there is a bit of an equilibrium in Japan.
Laurent Clavel, let's do the numbers. Japan's Nikkei notched its longest ever winning streak following Sunday's election. The index closed up 239 points, or 1.11%. European shares are mixed. Germany's DAX is up 38 points, or 0.3%, while Spain's IBEX is down 47 points, or 0.46%. Now, businesses in London are weighing the impact of a new $13 charge on the most polluting vehicles. Mayor Sadiq Khan says it's vital if London is to reduce air pollution. 34,000 vehicles will pay it, on top of $15 for any car that enters the city centre. The BBC's transport correspondent Richard Westcott has more.
The air in London regularly breaks legal European pollution limits, and this new T-charge is the latest step in trying to reduce levels of deadly gases and particles in the city. It affects vehicles that don't meet the Euro 4 emission standard, which is generally those registered before 2006. A major study last week estimated that pollution contributed to about 50,000 deaths in the UK in 2015, giving it one of the worst records in Europe. Toxic fumes from vehicles, especially diesel vehicles, are a major reason the air is so bad in a number of towns and cities around Britain. In London, I'm the BBC's Richard Westcott for Marketplace.
You heard earlier about Japan's Prime Minister promising to tackle North Korea. Well, in South Korea, an international air show displaying US fighter jets is being used as a show of force to Pyongyang. The BBC's Mark Lowen reports from Seoul.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the United States Air Force's F-22 Raptor.
The American military certainly knows how to put on a show. U.S. fighter jets roared through the air above the Seoul Aerospace and Defense Exhibition. Military equipment from 40 countries were on display, from Israel to Malaysia to Britain. But most importantly, for a country that feels threatened by its northern neighbour, planes from the US and South Korea too.
Yeah, Major Dan Dickinson, go by Rock. I'm the commander of the United States Air Force's F-22 demonstration team. I think they've got to be pretty happy to have the United States Air Force backing South Korea and behind them. And we as well are happy to have these F-22 Raptors here on the ramp to show them off to the people here.
Nuclear tests and the firing of two intercontinental ballistic missiles by North Korea have put the peninsula on high alert. Those we met at the air show felt reassured by what they saw.
I feel like we have some strong connection between US and Korea, and it makes me feel like secure then.
Are you worried about what is happening in North Korea at the moment?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think most of Koreans, same thing.
We'd like to thank you for inviting us to the 2017 Seoul International Airspace and Defense Exhibition.
A routine air show, yes, but a flexing of military muscle too, and a warning to Kim Jong-un of what he could face. Actually, using this equipment here could have a calamitous impact. The way to avoid it widely believed to be sanctions on Pyongyang and diplomacy. But for now, it's the bellicose rhetoric that's loudest and continues to soar.
Mark Lowen in Seoul. Finally, a Chinese ban on smelly cheeses has been lifted after the bacteria used to make them were approved by quarantine officials. Sales in China are up 26%. That's enough to make any importer say cheese with a smile. I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.